Like to call to order the special meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees. Today is Friday, July 8th. Time is now 9:19 p.m. We are meeting this evening because we need to address the issue of drainage that has been proposed along Freeman Road. And this is a consequence of the intersection improvements being made currently at State Route 3 and Freeman Road. It might help, I don't know if Paul, if you kind of want to quickly summarize kind of the urgency of moving forward on the project.
Sure, I'll sit down here at Pat's spot until he gets here. The project, it's been planned, and since I joined the township, there's been talk about improving the intersection. And so when the safety grants were awarded and it's the funding was, or the intersection was warranted for the improvements, we went ahead and Rob Riley is here from the Delaware County Engineer's Office. His department was influential and pivotal to in helping us apply for grant money that was available by having a multi-jurisdictional project. So the Shelley and Sands was awarded the bid, and the engineering, well, before that, the engineering drawings were drawn up, and what we had was an intersection improvement plan with a red light to be installed at the intersection of Freeman and Route 3. Mm-hmm. A push-button crosswalk was to be installed on the south side of the intersection, running east to west over State Route 3. The push button, press it, and it'll trigger the pedestrians when to walk.
That was on the south side?
Yes, it's on the south side of the roadway. And the engineering documents showed all of these improvements, and it showed that the water flow from the intersection was going to be running south on the southwest corner and run south down Route 3. And so when the Shelley and Sands began putting in their catch basins and searching for the outlet pipe, they found that there was no outlet pipe to run south. And so that's when the engineer's office did some investigation and found an outlet that was close to 800 feet away on Freeman Road. It would be the nearest outlet for the project. Being the nearest would be the cheapest for the township. So that's where we're at today, discussing the alignment of the pipe and placement of the pipe.
And the engineering plan as currently drawn up by the county engineer's office calls for a 24-inch pipe to be installed along the south side of Freeman Road. And obviously, and we're joined this evening by the Shortland family, who was nice enough to come last night to last night's meeting. Their residence at the corner of Freeman and Perkins Lane, longtime residents, 42 years, I believe. And there's a large amount of landscaping that is currently within the right of way. It's of some very strong sentimental value to the family. We understand that. They've contacted us in the past week and a half to, you know, express their concerns about the project as proposed. Again, we heard from them last night. We said that we would just, you know, kind of take a step back and just look at the plans, you know, see if there was, if it was feasible to do it any other way along Freeman Road. It's kind of why we're here tonight, just to, you know, kind of talk through, get an understanding of it all. And we do need to move forward on this project one way or another, because you know, they're nearing the end of the intersection completion, and or the construction of the intersection, and they'll need to run that drainage pipe. Unfortunately, Trustee Lewis and myself will be out of town this coming week, so it's not something that we could put off for another week and a half. So that's kind of why we're here tonight. Yes, Mr. Shortland.
Okay.
See how close that might be.
Yeah, can we get them?
There we go.
That's it.
I'm sorry, he said.
That's okay.
Go ahead, that's okay.
We're joined by also by Rob Riley's here this evening. He's Delaware County Deputy Engineer.
Okay.
He's also Township President.
I'm Robert Shortland, 6530 Freeman Road, Westerville.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I hear on these drawings that Paul give us here, look at the one, shows the intersection of Route 3. On look at the north side, and there is not one thing on that side of the road. Down to there, come down to Spinosi's house on the north side, that the whole thing could have been done right there without having to go on this side. Okay? Now, the work that Paul done on the sewer lines is working.
Mm-hmm.
There's proper drainage in there. If you keep the water from Route 3 coming out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, they've worked on that. They're putting that pipe through. Okay? Okay, why can't they pipe it over on the north side and go down through there?
Well, that's you know, a question I think that we want to talk about tonight, to see, you know, is this something that is technically feasible, and what would be the cost related to route it to the north as opposed to the south?
Right here, full view, and you can see nothing there from Route 3 except, I take that back, except with the telephone. And I know the telephone company has put a lot of lines through there. And they got that one section there where they would come across there, and they would have to pull with that.
Right.
That, you know.
Sure.
I can agree with that. But.
No, it's okay. This is very. We can dismiss with all the formalities,
yeah.
And we're not, you know, let's, you know, we want to have a.
What you guys got to say there.
Well, it's my understanding that the outlet that you had mentioned is on, it's further down Freeman Road. Is it?
Yes.
Right on the edge of my property.
Right on the edge of your property.
But.
Okay.
Same token, across Freeman Road and right in front of Spinosi, I showed him today. There is a drainage outlet.
You showed Trustee Gephardt.
That is a 24-inch drain.
Mm-hmm.
It piped in there, but when Delaware County put in that sewer line through there, that is surface water drain.
Mm-hmm.
There's an outlet on the south side. There's an outlet on the north side.
Do we have a map that goes beyond this? I can try to pull something up off the auditors.
Because this is Route 3 down
this
to...
This is Freeman Park right here. This parcel with the split screen.
Oh, right here.
Yeah,
okay.
That's Freeman Park. It starts here on the top right. This
okay.
is Freeman. It
right.
works this way, and then that bush lines up with that bush.
Okay, all right.
So these are the same, and then it works this way to Freeman Park.
Okay.
So I guess I just want to have an understanding of what is potentially being proposed would be to route it, starting at the intersection, you would have to route it under the street to the north side of Freeman, and then it would have to travel west on Freeman.
All the way down to the Spinosi's.
To the Spinosi's.
Right across the street from me.
Okay, and then it would have to route south again.
Tying in right there.
It can tie
you're
in.
You're tying into the drainage, the surface water drainage tile that is there.
Mm-hmm.
One on the south side and one on the north side.
Is it this right here?
Yes,
concrete thing right there.
There is. It's on in the photograph here.
I think I see where it is.
Can you see it?
Is it
right here? This concrete block.
Yeah.
Right here, square block.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
And then there's one directly across Freeman at the corner of your property, Mr. Shortland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which we saw today.
We walked down there today.
Yeah.
I pointed that out to you.
Right. We saw that one. And then there's one further west.
Yeah. Further up
west.
This way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess...
Now, is this another one east on the... Just on the east side of the Spinosi's driveway?
Yes. There is another one over there.
It looked like it was probably improved when they put Black Hawk Forest in.
Yeah. If the drainage tile was put over for surface water drainage.
What is along Freeman Road, getting back to like the double mapped page, where Freeman Road, the yellow line comes so close to the road there, but yet on the other side, on your side, it's much farther. So that's the right-of-way? Is that?
Anything north of the this...
Okay.
That's the road right-of-way, between the two yellow lines.
Yikes.
Okay,
sure, sure. Sure.
The difference that you're seeing there is on the north side of the road, that is the right-of-way that was originally established with Freeman Road, 20 feet from the center of the right-of-way. On the south side, there was 30 feet of right-of-way dedicated as part of the Pleasant Corners subdivision. The reason you're seeing a slight offset there is simply because the road isn't exactly on the center line, on the property center line. I'm sure that over the years the pavement has meandered or gotten shifted to one side just from normal maintenance. It might have been less of a ditch there. For whatever reason, the pavement just gradually shifted towards the north side of the right-of-way. So, and that's certainly one of the issues that would cause a problem with trying to put a storm sewer on the north side of the road. There not really being enough room there. If you can imagine trying to put a catch basin on the edge of pavement and being able to get that basin or manhole low enough so that it doesn't obstruct the pavement but also doesn't create a drop-off right on the edge of pavement, that can be a problem if you can't put it far enough away from the edge of the road. As you can see there's just not much room. I mean, there's a matter of just a few feet from the edge of the pavement to the right-of-way line. So if the storm sewer would go on that side of the road, it would essentially run right along the edge of pavement. So you'd be tearing up the edge of pavement of Freeman Road. It would be more expensive to build on the north side of the road. It's essentially the same length of pipe as going on the south side, but you're building under pavement, so you have to replace the pavement that you tear up.
Would you have to do a curb cut? Or, I mean, do you have to cut the street, or could you do directional boring to do that?
This would be a cut. With a 24-inch pipe, it's more practical to cut it and backfill it and pave over the trench. You would also have a longer... trench crossing Black Hawk Forest Drive versus Perkins Lane. You'd have, I don't know what, just graphically that looks like three or four times the amount of pavement that you're crossing going under Black Hawk Forest versus Perkins Lane on the south. So to simplify it, it's essentially the same length of pipe, but it's going to be more expensive to build, and even if you can build it in the existing right-of-way, there could potentially be issues with having the pipe so close to the pavement. We didn't engineer it or design it on that side of the road, so we haven't looked specifically at what it would take to put the catch basins that close to the pavement, but it's possible we would need to acquire, or the township would need to acquire, some additional right-of-way, because it just may not be safe to put catch basins so close to the road.
From the state?
From the property owner.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right?
From the property owner. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, on the, again, at the corner of State Road 3 and Freeman on that map, it appears, that the, I mean, are the utility poles within the right-of-way, or what, is there a utility easement through there? I mean, surely there's cable and stuff going down through there.
I've been there since 1969. Mm-hmm. I know about what, everything that went through.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're on poles.
And this gentleman down here, you're from the Delaware County?
That's right.
Engineer's office. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why is it? They run the utility down there that they can't. You know, I'm looking at if what you're saying. What you're saying, it don't make sense. You come in there and you engineer the engineer, and I agree. If I had small kids, I wouldn't want them using Freeman Road, a bike path on Freeman Road. If you put a bike path on Freeman Road, I still wouldn't want the kids on me out there on it because they drive like maniacs. Mm-hmm. Okay. But if my proposal is, if you go on the north side, you've got, there's, I don't know how many acres, 20 acres of ground right there at the corner of Route 3 in that plot there for where they were going to build that church, but then it fell through and now it's sitting there vacant ground across the street from Black Hawk Forest. There is a big easement in there for them to come and go, and the township does a great job for getting in there, snow plowing everything. Okay, and they have no problem with getting in there doing that. Spinosi is dead and gone now, but his property is there too. It would then the horse farm is adjoining that place right there. But they wouldn't even have to go to the horse farm. The right in front of Spinosi's there is a drainage pipe.
How much more money are we talking about to move the?
Is there a possibility that the poles would have to be moved on the north side? Because it looks like they're almost right there at the end of the right of way.
It's possible, depending on how close you get with the excavation for the trench. There's certainly a concern with that the utilities have expressed before when we've had to excavate close to poles. They either want them temporarily supported or relocated, but they don't like you digging right up next to their pole, certainly. Let me explain again. Installing the sewer in the right-of-way would basically mean you're going right along the edge of pavement on the north side of the road. I just want to make that clear. Mm-hmm. You're also going to have to...
What is the significance of that? Since it's right, if it's right up along the pavement, what does that
impose? Two things. Cost, because you're going to have to basically excavate out. A portion of your trench will actually be into the pavement, so you have to rebuild that section of the pavement
okay.
as you backfill it. And secondly, if there are any surface drains that are needed to get water into that storm sewer through a catch basin, you can't have a catch basin on the edge of pavement and have it low enough to catch surface water coming off the field or out of the ditch without there being a pretty significant drop-off right at the basin.
Okay.
Compared to the way it was designed on the south side of the road where the catch basins sit anywhere from 8 to 10 feet off the edge of the pavement. So there's a slope coming off the pavement versus mm-hmm. there being a drop-off.
Mm-hmm. Putting it right there.
Back to the issue of cost that you had posed. Are you able to ballpark what the additional cost would be?
Well, for any time you're rebuilding... pavement as part of a trench excavation, probably adding 50% to the cost of that section of the pipe. The pipe is actually a relatively small portion of the cost of the project, the material of the pipe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The cost is in the labor, the backfill, and everything that goes with it. So there's no difference in the pipe. The difference is in how you backfill it and how you have to repair the pavement over top. So you're probably looking at in the ballpark of maybe 400 feet of pavement you would have to rebuild over top of the trench. I think the per linear foot cost for the pipe, you know, installed, it was probably in the ballpark of $60 a foot. So you're adding 50% to that. You're making that $90 a foot. So I don't have a calculator on me, but 400 feet times 30 bucks a foot.
400 by 30, 120.
12,000.
That's it was 1200. I just wasn't sure what the decimal. Yeah, she's the finance
12,000. I should be able to do that.
Yeah, we don't need a calculator.
You know, and that's right off the top of my head. It could certainly be more or less than that, but
that's to cross the interstate. That's to travel north.
That's to go. Yeah, to put it on the north side of the road if you're in the right of way. Now, that's if it could be built in the existing right of way. Okay. I don't know that that's the case. I mean,
right.
It's going to be pretty tight for the first few hundred feet west of Route 3.
Yeah, do we know how wide that the right-of-way is?
20 feet from the center of the, or 20 feet from the property line, but it's, I mean, a matter of a few feet from the edge of pavement.
That's what it looks so close. Yeah, that's
right. One of the things I was looking at the other end of the map, if you look at the double map on the far left bottom corner, it actually looks as though the road exceeds the right-of-way at certain points.
Mm-hmm.
So my question, I was kind of wondering, you know, how accurate is the map? You know what I mean? Because I'm sure that this is meant as a tool and not a definitive guide. So
this was taken off the county GIS system. So
yeah,
I think it's fairly accurate. I'm sure there's.
It's pretty close, just based on. I'm not sure about the far west part you're talking about, and I guess the little S curve there. But on the east end near Route 3, I do know that it's within a matter of a few feet from the edge of the pavement. So that what's shown there is probably pretty close.
And marked it out before, is that where your information's coming from?
Yeah, this comes from our survey. I mean, we located the property pins and where the right of way would be based on.
Rob, what's the it appears the right that the property line just east or west of Mr. Shortland's property, it's wide, the right-of-way is wide, and then it narrows down.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a design feature because of the intersection?
Yeah, the Pleasant Corners subdivision basically stops at Mr. Shortland's west line. His
okay.
is the last lot in that subdivision, so anything west of there was the originally established 40-foot right-of-way for Freeman mm-hmm. Road back in the 1800s, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, one thing that he was talking about the damage to the edge of the road. Also, we got that something. Right now, Paul had his crew out and they were down there repairing last year, repairing some of the cracked asphalt and that. And all the way across my front of my property, where we had where you come in there and you've done the excavating, putting that new drainage in, all the way down across my property, the pavement is cracking, and it's going that thing. It went that way all the way down to going around Danny Gober's old place. That's the old farm, the old Salic property.
That is going to be all the way down to the park, probably. You're going to have to redo that because this is going to have to be either that or I'm going to be coming up here and getting you guys to go over there and make them slow down all night long.
We'll need extra noise.
Rob, we've talked about the right-of-way issue. I mean, you know, from a legal standpoint, there's a right-of-way on both sides. So it's not like we're debating whether there's a right-of-way or not. I mean, the fact is there is a right-of-way. I guess the question I would have is, and I talked to Mr. Shortland today about it. I've been involved in pipeline projects where, you know, you have an easement, basically, for pipelines. It'd be like a utility easement. So you want to put a new pipe in, and there's oftentimes within that easement there's a construction easement, which is a temporary easement, but then there's also the area which a pipe goes. When you're looking at a project like this, how big of an area are you talking relative to where the area that a pipe would take up, the area that would be required on a temporary basis to put the pipe in within that easement? I mean, how much land are we actually talking here as far as width for a pipe for a construction?
At a minimum, you're going to need about 10 feet on either side of the pipe to work. On the south side of the road, based on the existing right-of-way, that's not a problem. Basically, the pipe as designed is about 12 feet in from the right-of-way line. So
the existing pipe?
The proposed 24-inch pipe as designed.
Okay.
So all the work would be within the existing right-of-way. The same would hold true on the north side. You would still need about 10 feet either side of that new pipe, which would probably put you outside the right-of-way for that first several hundred feet going west from Route 3. Mm-hmm. So in that case, yes, you would need to acquire some temporary work easement from the owner. That takes some time. It can certainly be done, but
is that Mr. Berlin that owns that? I'm sorry. Is that Mr. Berlin's parcel?
Okay. Yes, Drew Berlin.
Sorry to interrupt.
With having the pipe, you would basically have to have the pipe 10 feet from the edge of the roadway and then 10 feet from the edge, let's say we're working on the south side of Freeman, 10 feet from the south boundary of the right-of-way. That would be your construction, temporary construction area. But where the pipe would be going in would be within that. And you're talking how wide of a trench?
For a 24-inch pipe, it's about a 4-foot trench.
Okay, so 48 inches.
So by the time you figure you're going to excavate the material,
put it out
on one side of the trench or another, you've also got the equipment, a backhoe working its way back down the trench. You're going to need approximately 10 feet on either side of that trench.
Okay, so you're talking basically a 24-foot area that's going to be disturbed, potentially.
10 foot on either side of the pipe, so roughly 20 feet.
Okay.
Sorry, I said trench, I meant pipe.
Okay, so 20 feet of impacted area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then how far west would it go? On the north side.
I think I'd find that how far west you said is that going to go? I think it's 1,000 feet, not 3.
Around 800 or so.
It is. 800? It's around 800. Mr. Shortland is correct. There is that catch basin. As you see, the right-of-way line jog back in.
Right.
If you extend Mr. Shortland's property line north, there is a catch basin there, and then a 24-inch pipe runs under the road. So that, I guess, if you call that the north alternative, that would be the end of the project.
Okay. And, then the north, you mean it would go past Spinosi's?
Yes. Where right. You're pointing, I believe, that's exactly where it would end.
Yeah, like right, it would end right here.
That's right.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. And when you said the 12,000, the 12,000 was an increase in the cost of the pipe, but not the labor?
It's an increase in the cost of the backfill and because you're rebuilding pavement.
Uh-huh.
You're instead of putting gravel to a foot over top of the pipe, now you have to bring it all the way to the top of the trench. You don't want to put soil back in between the top of the pipe and your pavement.
Okay.
You need to build that all up in gravel.
Oh, okay.
So there's additional gravel. You've got asphalt to put back.
What about then, okay, let's say it extends, we're on the north side, and then we're going west past the Berlin property, then we get to Blackhawk. So what would we do about it? What do we do there? Are there easements that we...
North side option?
Yeah. Are there...
It looks like if you're saying 20 feet from the edge of the road, is that what you're saying to construct?
Well, wherever you put the pipe, whether it's under the pavement or... you're going to need a footprint of about 20 feet. So whatever alignment you pick, take 10 feet either side of that.
So you can actually build it now.
You could go under the pavement, under basically where that the pavement widens out there for the approach to Blackhawk Forest Drive. You could build it under the pavement. But again, it's more expensive to do that.
Would you have to shut down that portion of the road?
Yep. Yes.
What about if it's on the south side? You're going to have to shut down the road.
Our plan would be to maintain one lane of traffic. There would be enough room that the equipment would be off the pavement, but in order for there to be enough room, just a little bit of elbow room to work, we would propose to take it down to one lane.
Okay, so you're going to have to take it down to one lane regardless of which side of the street. That's
going on the north side of the road, when you get into the pavement, it's possible you'd have to close the road because at that point you're literally working on the pavement.
I see.
It may not be safe to try to. You don't have. I think the pavement width out there is only 18 feet, something like that. So if you can envision a backhoe sitting on the pavement with its bucket sticking out into the pavement. Probably not safe to have traffic going by that.
Yeah.
The other question I have, and I don't know if Paul or Rob who can answer this, but timetable of how quickly do you anticipate having to get started on construction, regardless of which side of the street? What are we looking at for a time frame to do this?
Another question I have.
I'm going to have to defer to Rob.
Okay.
For timetable.
I mean, are we looking to do it in the next week and a half, or next month?
The thing that would govern would be this time frame to get the concrete catch basins. Those take about 2 to 3 weeks. So we're willing to get started as soon as we can, but the fact is we're going to have to wait for the catch basins. So that'll put us out 3 weeks. The actual work itself will take 2 to 3 weeks to complete. So, we'll be in the middle of August.
Okay.
By the time this is done.
But the excavation work will begin in would begin in approximately
probably two weeks.
2 to 3 weeks
mm-hmm.
from the point that we approve any purchase order for the materials.
Yes.
Right.
I was telling the board last night about the water that's coming off of the surface of the project is going in and just staying there and having to be pumped. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. The storm sewer that we recently installed, or the short section, is basically too low to pump or to flow into the existing 12-inch pipe that basically starts at that second driveway west of Route 3. It's the asphalt driveway on the south side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
So basically we need to pump the water out of that new pipe up into the 12-inch pipe for as long as it takes to get this new sewer extended.
Paul, are all of the residents, I mean, I know that to date we've been talking about the south side, but have all the residents that would be affected by this have they been contacted, notified?
I think the county was notifying the residents along there.
I mean, do they know that there is a potential drainage project that's...
We didn't receive anything from the county.
Nothing.
But you had told Dad, that's how...
You told me. Mm-hmm. That's what you told me, and that's the only thing we've done.
Mm-hmm. The neighbors that are going to be losing these two very large pine trees, they're beautiful. I don't know if you noticed them near the corner of Perkins and Freeman. Mm-hmm. They're built like a little cove type of thing, those two big pine trees. They're long-term neighbors as well, but they're going through a divorce. And I was going to go over and talk to them, but the timing is just...
The neighbors in
Denny and Laura Gobert's house, they're relatively new to the neighborhoods.
How far in advance do we typically notify, I mean, once we know construction will actually take place? What is the contact procedure?
I know there was a letter that was going out to those citizens. I think Ryan Dilley or somebody had that, Rob Denny.
Yeah, and that... We'll be more than happy to notify the residents that, you know, as to your decision, and
right.
We just need to know where it's going to go and which residents are going to be impacted.
Right.
So.
Right.
I unfortunately was not able to go out and actually walk your property, but I know that the other two trustees have.
He was out there.
Right. Carl was out today. Barb was out the other day. Do either of you have any observations to make about the landscaping? Or the...
Well, I guess we talked and you know, certainly, I understand the problem and the beautiful foliage there. And we did talk, though, about possibly us moving or picking new foliage so you would have a barrier. I can certainly see where you would need a barrier.
Like a buffer?
With Freeman Road being right there. We also talked about moving those posts.
Right.
Didn't we? So I know we would want to do that. I mean, it's not an easy decision just because
of... No, but you see now where I was coming from when I told Paul, go to the other side, put it on the north side. He told me that you can't. Well, you can, because it's right there, shows you you can't. But easement-wise, the road easement, according to... What they got on this map? No, they can't do it because it would. Yeah.
It's tight.
I want.
It's tight. It can be done, but it's tight, and it may be a little more costly. But it's very costly to us permanently if it's not done that way. It's a permanent change to the character of the property. But I absolutely understand. There are costs involved, which cost all of us as taxpayers.
That's right.
And that's what we're struggling with too. Is we would need to be able to justify to everybody else.
I got another question.
Please.
This is coming from me, a Pleasant Corners resident. Okay, I understood somebody to say something that you having to pump water out of the one area down there on Freeman.
Catch basin at Freeman and 3, when it rains,
the area
starts pooling, starts collecting the water, and they're having to pump. The catch basin's lower than anything else out there, so they're going to have to pump that storm water out of that intersection into the nearest 12-inch tile.
So that's right. 12-inch ain't enough to carry.
So the intersection can dry out so they can finish the job.
That's what they're currently having
That's
to deal
having
with
to
during
do
the construction.
Right.
this is what, that's what, that was my question there last night. A question about the church being there and whether that, because I was aware the pumps were having to put down there or whatever. And then,
there's no pump on the church side right now. It just flows. And it flows southward down Route 3.
Yeah.
If I could follow up with, and, you know, I was out today and we had an opportunity, and it helped me visualize things. I'm more of a visual person, and we had a good conversation about it. You know, as I look at this, I try to break it down in probably at least two, if not three, buckets or issues. Okay, we're dealing with the legal aspect. Your son-in-law just, or your grandson just went through law school, so he well understands the legal aspect. The fact is there's a right-of-way there.
Yeah.
So we all agree on that. The second issue, then, as I would see it, is, and the fact is, you know, there is plantings within the right-of-way, and if it was the state of Ohio or someone else, we wouldn't be sitting here. They'd had a bulldozers and said, you know.
How about the city of Columbus?
Yeah, or the city of Columbus. So, you know, they would just say it's our it's our property. We're going to do what we want to, and we've been dealing with the city of Columbus on that with some of our other residents.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue is, you know, the aesthetics, the you know, fact that you've been there, you have the plantings there. There's some emotional aspects to it, obviously. You know, as we looked, Mr. Shortland, you know, obviously there's some that were planted. There's some that have now moved in and have taken over. Yeah. There's poison ivy. There's everything in there. So, you know, that's the other issue. And we talked about maybe some alternative things relative to that. The third issue is, how do we take those two components and, you know, everyone try to find a compromise that, you know, we're not going to be totally satisfied with, you're not going to be totally satisfied with, but in the whole scheme of things, you know, we understand that has to be done. The other issue is the bigger issue of the taxpayers. And, you know, as you said, I mean, we have to look out for the interests as best we can of individual landowners and residents, but we also have to weigh that against the impacts it could have on the residents in general. And so by weighing all those three issues, you know, we will probably be having to take pieces out of each of those buckets, if you will, to formalize some kind of a resolution to this. And because I don't think any of us, any of the trustees, just want to say, well, you know, that's too bad. You know, we appreciate you coming in. We're going to do what we want to because we have the legal right. If we felt that way, we wouldn't be here tonight. We had done it last night. So I think it's a good faith effort on our part that we do want to find some kind of a compromise situation. It's obviously a good faith compromise on your part that you're willing to come in and hopefully negotiate and work something out. And as we talk, maybe there are some things that we can do to protect the integrity of the memories that you have and your wife and your mother's grandmother's connection to that property that would not only benefit you at your property, but other residents could maybe benefit from it as well, through benches at our parks and her honor and her memory, plantings, something along that line. So I don't know where, you know, if that helps, but that's how I'm approaching this, as far as looking at how can we pull from all of these issues and come up with a compromise that's going to be as fair to you, to the township residents, as possible, and yet get this project done in a manner that's going to be the safest for the residents and try to move forward. So, like I said, we probably, no one's probably going to end up with exactly what they want, but sometimes that's what happens, you know.
As far as the right-of-way itself, I had some question about what the deed says, and I plan to go to Delaware County on Monday to actually look up the deed to see what is covered under a right-of-way situation, because I know that different deeds are written up differently, and when this property was initially, you know, purchased, it really wasn't a subdivision. I mean, that was the intent eventually, but Perkins Lane wasn't even in there yet. So I'm not certain what restrictions or what rights this right-of-way gave us.
That's a good point.
if it's actually could be used for what we're intending to use it for. Do you know the exact?
I can speak to that. I did actually look at the plat for the Pleasant Corners subdivision that dedicated that 30-foot, and it is dedicated as public highway right-of-way. That confers with it the right to construct any part of a highway that you can imagine, drainage features, ditches, storm sewers, pavement, anything that goes with a road that would be for a public purpose. So
one of the other thing that comes to mind here too is it Joe? Sometimes when I've been involved in other pipeline projects around Ohio, there's these easements that have basically were signed by, Rockefeller himself, back in the late 1800s. And what they do is they convey multiple line rights. And so the person who owned that land back in whenever, they were compensated for that. But then the eventual owners of the land throughout history are bound by that same right. So a company wants to come in, like in this situation, say, we want to put in a new pipeline, and they say, well, you owe me X number of dollars. I said, no, we have the right to do this. And you're absolutely right. Sometimes these deeds and these right-of-ways say all kind of things. The unfortunate thing is, and I'm as guilty as anyone, we sometimes don't read those when we buy property, and you've lived there for 30, 40 years. We just kind of make an assumption that's it's there and we're going to use it, or if something happens, we're going to be compensated for it, and that's not always the case.
Well, I was aware when I bought the place, that the boundaries, like showing on this map, I was aware, and there was a line drawn on the map, on the deed, but I was also told that line was for the utility easement, for water, electric, telephone, and all that kind of stuff. Well, now there's sewer.
Yeah, utility is a utility. Certain things, but I think what Rob was saying is that anything associated with the road.
And one more thing, this is actually what we call dedicated right-of-way, so the fee title to that land, that 30-foot strip, is actually held by the public.
By the county.
So it's generally, if you look at the portion to the west, when the road would have been originally established in the 1800s, it would have been established by easement, so the property lines would have extended to the center of the road. When new subdivisions are created today, as they have been for the last 50 years, generally the county will require that right-of-way be dedicated in fee to the public, so that the property line actually becomes the right-of-way line. So
yeah.
You and your neighbors don't own to the center of the road like if you go farther west. Those parcels do extend to the center road. Yours does not.
I know.
Right.
Without looking at the easement, I can't, comment on it. We are going to go look at the easement. I know.
Sure.
Just in certain easements that I've seen working with Westford, a lot of times they limit to maybe sewer or whatever we're dealing with now. But in terms of, I'm not sure that it extends to a bike trail. I'm not positive that if it is in B, it probably does. But like I said, I don't doubt your word.
Sure.
The lawyer in me checks everything three times.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that's where it was just a question.
But Joe, am I correct in my perception of right-of-ways and ownership and who can do what within that?
There are exceptions to every rule.
Sure.
There's probably not a winning, but a somewhat decent argument to be made for adverse possession, because we've open and notoriously pushed you out of that certain strip of land via foliage that has blocked your entrance. Not probably a winning argument, but one that could be made in good faith. There are definitely ways to blow things up. Yeah. So I can't comment.
Yeah.
I'm not licensed yet in the state of Ohio. I don't
know any legal advice on either side. Yeah. Yeah. I know just in my line of work, I deal in with cable on the cable television side of things, and I've had experience with cable easements, well, with utility easements, and we just ran into this with Wide Open West here in the township where they were coming in and they were, you know, going onto people's property and constructing lines, digging large trenches, and they have the right to do that under law. They, you know, if it's a dedicated utility easement, you know, it doesn't matter if they're walking through your backyard or on your front yard. They have access to that. They have access to open it up, do the work. Now, there's, you know, certain things that they have to follow, and they have to restore the ground, you know, once it's done. And I don't know how applicable that is to here, but that's, you know, something I've seen where we have a lot of homeowners that kind of say, well, wait a minute, what are you doing? And we tell people all the time, look, don't. This is a dedicated utility easement. Yeah, if you want to, you know, build your patio over it, if you want to, you know, put landscaping down, go ahead. But, you know, if we ever need to access that easement, you know, we're coming in and we're digging it up and we're doing our work. And, you know, that's the unfortunate side of things. Now, the difference here, I mean, you're obviously been property owners for almost 50 years now, so things have changed over the years. Exactly, right. You know, it's not a deal where when I moved into a subdivision just half mile down the road here, and they told me flat out, "Hey, utility easement's along the back. Don't put your beds in the back." Okay, fine, but you know, didn't have that luxury back then. So
you know, obviously, we're not dealing here with law. We're not. We'll never come to that, hopefully. You know, we're just talking,
right.
You know,
right.
We've been property owners for a long time. We'd really like to work out a solution that works for everybody. We understand where you're coming from. We certainly do.
Yeah.
I don't want you to feel as though we're at all hostile. But
no.
We're also coming from the fact that, you know, you can install benches and other foliage and stuff like that, but just to take one, for example, the tree that sits out in front of the house, mm-hmm. I'm sure you saw it today.
Yeah, big silver maple.
We could pick any tree on the planet. We could pick the most expensive tree that we could possibly buy over at Ancorn Falls, and it's until it ages another 50 years, it's not going to look like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's you just can't replace it. It's a signature for the entrance to the property. Mom always put a flag out there for the different seasons, and it had a 6530 sign hanging from it until a few months ago when they
and one of the things
that
like that we can work
they
with
come in and done, they, I paid to have them go in there and trim that tree, and you know, they come down off of there, and
I just have to give you
heck. One of the things like we could talk about, and I don't know how feasible this is or what, but and I haven't talked to my grandfather about it, but you know, saving that tree I'm sure is important to him too, and if we can, you know, come back a little further and save that tree, sure, you're a little further in our yard, but also it's going to save something that's important to us. But
yeah, you know. for the culvert itself, I mean, I think Dad mentioned that to Paul a few months ago. You know, even if you want to come back in the center of my yard, just save my landscaping across the front. So
is that a possibility?
I don't know the answer to that with the excavation. Is it possible, as the right of way is today, that with digging a trench in front, would it affect the roots of that tree to the point where it may kill it?
It's possible. I mean, if you're within the drip line of the tree, you're probably into the root zone. So,
but there's a possibility too that the tree could survive.
That's right.
The tree's pretty close to the road. I don't think you're going to save it. If you're talking a 4 foot wide.
So you mean you're suggesting maybe come around closer,
come back
away from the road around the
tree would be towards say right there, but you would
toward my house.
Yes.
I don't know if you would even be able to swing it somehow.
I don't know either. I just
putting a lot of angles in the tile. 24-inch tile.
Right. Now, is this corrugated pipe? I mean, what kind of pipe are we talking? Are we talking plastic?
Yeah, double wall plastic, smooth line pipe.
24-inch double wall pipe.
It's not very flexible.
Sounds as though it goes in a straight line.
You're not going to bend that stuff very well. No. This isn't corrugated tile. This is
Elbows.
Black plastic.
Elbows.
Pipe. Yeah. I mean, do they have?
They do. In this size, you would probably want to put a manhole. I mean, that's what manholes are really designed for, is bends and pipes. Yeah. But you know, there's some costs associated with that. I would just advise the township that if that's something you're considering, you would absolutely want to make sure that the pipe you're installing is in some kind of an easement so that it could be maintained.
Yeah, that would be.
If you would have to go far enough out that you would get outside the right of way, that's where I think you would want to talk to the Shortlands about getting an easement to be basically behind the tree instead of in front of it or through it.
You've actually got two trees. You have the tree on the corner. Is that the tree you're talking about?
That's the tree. Yeah.
Leanne, is it the center one?
The center one.
Yeah, the center one. That's what I thought.
The center one, meaning this one? Is it right here?
Yeah.
This one okay. Right
here. There's
okay.
That one, and then there's
this one over here.
Yeah. And the rest of this is pretty much.
Yeah, it looks.
I mean, there's a large. I think that's a plum right there.
Okay.
Wild. And a lot of this is a variety of vegetation that's, you know, you have burning bush, you've got some yews,
burning bushes, and that kind of stuff.
And there's one lilac tree that I would really love to save if it could be transplanted right in there, because that's belonged to my grandmother.
Yeah, I saw that in there.
Yeah,
I think I'd mentioned to you, Mr. Shortland, about going out and, like you said, I mean, there's poison ivy, there's all kind of stuff growing in there too, identifying some of the plants or bushes that would be more of more interest to be protected one way or the other than others.
Paul mentioned something about transplanting, but I don't, you couldn't.
Some of
it's
very big, and I
don't
know if it's
some of it's, especially this time of year, too, you're going to be dealing with issues there.
Well, I think it's important that at least the county and at least Paul has some direction from the board this evening as to which side of the road we're going to do it on. Because we do need to make a decision to at least move forward with the plans, with procuring materials, getting all that underway, because time, unfortunately, is of the essence.
It's got to be done before school starts.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. That's just what I was thinking.
That's
it's
right.
Got to be done before school starts, so we can't.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything I've heard this evening, at least from Rob, with the possibility of doing it on the north, it's at least 12,000. On that, and that's assuming, I mean, we're taking some leaps of faith that, like you said, we might even have to go into the pavement with it if we did it that way.
I would tell you that 12,000 is right off the top of my head. I don't think it'd be less than that. Chances are it would be more costly than 12,000. Just for me, I use my fingers as a scale here, and I'd rather, if the board wanted to.
Yep.
Oh, it.
It came unplugged.
There we go.
If the board is interested in a more detailed cost estimate, we're certainly willing to provide that. But with time being of the essence, it's going to take a few days to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it would be very hard for us to justify to the taxpayers.
Right now, just the intersection alone is $1 million. But we're budgeted around 300,000 of that, and now the change order or the additional work for a tile is going to cost at least another 80,000 for that. And so we were budgeting 300, 350 around that ballpark anyways when we figured out the levy amount, and we tried to keep the levy the same amount.
Yeah,
we want to go to the taxpayers with an increase.
We did keep it the same amount.
Easement on the south side, I mean, from the west boundary, west property line of Mr. Shortland's property going east, that is the same width. I mean, that is consistent between that point and Route 3?
Yes.
Okay. So there would be, I mean, if we did have to, the alignment issue within that right-of-way, you have more flexibility the entire length of it. Mm-hmm. So if, in fact, it would be feasible to move the line one way or the other, it's more likely to be done than it is on the north side, obviously.
Yes, and even on the south side, moving closer to the pavement really isn't an option because, as I was saying before, putting those catch basins too close to the pavement, you create a drop-off situation.
Yeah.
Where they're situated now, in the as designed, it's going to be a safe slope, so you can move it farther away, but I wouldn't advise moving it closer to the pavement.
And you're going down 48 inches. What's your depth on that?
The trench will be about 4 feet deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's... There's one other issue I would mention. I believe it's the second property in, Mr. Henshaw, maybe. I know I talked to at least one of the property owners, if not two, who expressed that they have some issues with drainage in their septic systems, and on big rains, the septic systems back up, and because the outlet that's out there now just isn't very optimal. I mean, there's just it's a 12-inch pipe and I believe a 6-inch pipe below it. What we're proposing, I think, would be a more permanent upgrade and really alleviate some of those drainage concerns and allow a better outlet for their septic system. So.
Are we talking, will you leave the 12-inch in there, or will you take the 12-inch out and use the same?
We would take out both. I believe there's a 6-inch that the curtain drain outlets tie into, and a 12-inch that carries the surface water. We would take out both of those and tie in any curtain drain outlets or any other pipe outlets into that new storm sewer system.
Are there any other comments from the board? I think at this time I want to go ahead and offer a motion that we direct, I guess, that we proceed with the drainage project as planned on the south side of the street on Freeman Road. However, that we also authorize our township administrator, Paul Wise, to work with the Shortland family to make whatever accommodations may be feasible in terms of either, I don't know, relocating or, I don't know, dedicating trees, foliage, benches, those types of items. That's my motion. Is there a second?
Yes, second.
Is there any discussion? And again, I mean, this, we're highly sensitive to this. I mean, we do want to work with you, but we have to be, at the end of the day, we have to be practical, sensitive yet practical. And I think, in terms of what this will accomplish and the economics involved, this is really the only way we can do it.
And I would assume, Rick, in your motion, the alignment issue, as discussed, I mean, the possibility of you being able to go behind there. So I would say, look.
Yeah, at I'll amend the motion to allow for flexibility if feasible to modify the alignment.
Can I make a comment? If you do that, then if there's any trail planned at all on Freeman and Freeman Road, then to avoid those trees, then it would have to stop at Perkins Lane because we can't get through there. You can't put a trail in there because there's so much foliage. So that would pretty much stop the trail project at Perkins Lane. So if you're trying to get kids to school, then they would have to go either in the their yard or out into the roadway.
Right.
To get to the push button intersection.
That's the issue I brought up last night.
Yes.
About the kids having to cross two times a street that's we've already agreed is all pretty dangerous. Talking about if it was on the north side of the street.
If you relocate the tile into the yard with an easement, then I don't think the Shortlands want to have a trail also following that tile in their yard that close to their home. So that was my assumption.
Oh, okay, I'm
that,
talking about
if you did that, then the trail would have to stop.
Then you're taking all the privacy curve.
Yeah.
By if you change the alignment of the tile. And, So I wouldn't want to put.
Well, my motion is to direct, is to authorize you to work with the family to see what's feasible, what's possible.
Yeah, to come up with the best solution.
Come up with the best solution. Maybe the best solution is to do it as originally planned, but to put in some screening.
From what you said, Rob, with the trees right here, it's going to be hard to preserve the trees with the 24-inch pipe. Isn't that what you were?
It will. I mean, I believe and, those I trees mean, will have to be removed.
Yeah.
Even if the pipe were moved out away from there, I'm not sure about the tree closest to the intersection of Perkins. I just haven't looked closely enough at the tree and then more towards the middle of the property to know whether that's even practical to move the sewer line that far away from the road. But
right.
Do we know where the existing 12-inch is? I mean,
it basically runs right along the edge of the road.
Okay.
It's within a foot or two.
It's out there on the edge.
That's where you showed me those two pipes that were coming up, so that's right where it's at, which is...
What brought to my mind right now, and I'm hearing what you're saying, if you come down to there and you're going to wipe that out anyway, where everything, our septic system is going to be empty right in, our irrigation system is going to empty right into it anyhow. You're going to eliminate the 12-inch and the 6-inch that's down in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're going to eliminate that. So, therefore, you're going to keep the pipe closer to the right where that pipe is going down through there.
Mm-hmm.
When you dug down there and put that 12-inch in there, if you don't do any more damage to that tree than what you did... going down through there, I don't see no reason why you can't go right down through there. If you're 4 feet off of the edge of that thing, you're still on, that's only 2 foot, 2 foot on either side. Even 4 foot over. I'm still not going to hit that tree.
But the county said they needed 10 foot and 10 foot. That's what the county said. So they said they needed 20.
Well, but, I mean, I think you're right, Mr. Shortland. I mean, where I saw the existing pipe, if those two pipes that you said they used to put the snakes down to clean it out, I mean, that's not that far off the road.
No.
So the 10 feet...
It's right there within that fall.
So the 10 feet between that and the road, you're basically going to be on the road doing the construction. That side of the 10 feet.
Keep in mind, again, you're going to have a catch basin to catch the surface water that has to be basically in line with the pipe. Moving that pipe closer to the road now creates a drop-off. Where we've got the pipe laid out, I would not recommend moving it any closer to the pavement. Is that what you're considering? Or
no. The way I saw that today... And Rob, going back to what you were saying, where you're going to remove the 12-inch and the 6-inch, it's already there. If you're going to do that, where I was able to see the pipe currently, if you take 10 feet towards the road, you're going to be, the construction is going to, this backhoe is going to be sitting on the road.
Yes.
The pipe's not going to be really any closer because you can go towards the house a little bit more to get your 48 inches. I guess I was visualizing, or what you were saying first, is from the edge of the road, you were going to come in 10 feet, and then from the other side of the right-of-way, you're going to come in 10 feet. But the existing pipe is not 10 foot off the road.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. The pipe as designed is behind that existing pipe.
Excuse me.
Okay. When you say behind the...
Farther off the pavement.
Okay, farther off, okay.
Basically runs parallel several feet south of that existing 12-inch pipe.
You know, Paul, when they announced their height, that 12-inch in there. I think the
rule... Let's just go with your motion. We have
you
because I think that's a factor that Paul...
Two foot further in, or 3 foot further in. It's not, you're not going to be disturbing that much. You're not going to be disturbing that much. I don't think. That.
Do I need to restate the motion? I think I know we have a motion already on the floor and seconded,
no, I don't
but just
think you
to,
need to restate it. I think the object is that we want to do the most we can to preserve whatever is there, and we really thank you so much. And I mean, I just wish we could say
And we want to find a way to commemorate
Mrs.
Shoreland as well.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, from our perspective, it's hard because we've been there 42 years.
Sure.
I mean, we were there before Black Hawk. We were there before Highland Lakes. I mean, I wasn't. He was, but I'm not that old. But, you know, it's just there's an old saying in the law, that first in time, first in right. And it's just like, where can you go in the world anymore where you can have your property and enjoy it?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's an entirely frustrating experience for us, and we need to make sure that that's always coming.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that comment.
Thank you.
Right.
No.
Okay.
Paul, call the roll.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Mrs. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye. Motion carries. Do we need to...
Thank you.
I know that there was some figures that were drawn up in terms of costs and materials. And
yeah,
I don't know if you could maybe summarize. It's kind of a split.
The township road crews are tied up working on their own paving project. Getting ready for those jobs, and the county crew is available to work to do the tile for us, and there is a cost involved with that, but it's a not to exceed cost, because when you work with the county engineer's office, they like to build in contingency factors in case you run into no outlets of water and other things that are unforeseen underneath the ground. So Mr. Riley came up with the figure of $81,870.29. So if the board feel like you want to get into the this quotation with the county, I suggest you make a motion to not to exceed figure of $82,000 on this project.
And then it's my understanding, just reading Rob's comments, that that number could actually come down if we use our own police officers to handle the traffic control.
Yes.
Because that's part of what's built in is flaggers.
Yes.
Okay. So that 81,000 figure is, it could actually be much lower.
That's correct.
Okay. All right.
You're aware.
Yeah.
is a well on that place that's right out next to the road.
I wasn't aware of that. There's another, it's a cistern.
You'll run into a well casing out there that sticks up out of the ground. It is maybe about 8 inches.
Thank you for bringing that up to our attention.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
When you run into it, you know you're...
Yeah, they'll... Oh, gosh. Thank you, Mr. Short.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure meeting you. Thank
Good
you,
evening. How would this... Would this be a blanket purchase order? What would
it would be a
the...
purchase order made out to the Delaware County Engineer's Office. So they would be procuring all the pipes and catch basins on behalf of the township.
So it would actually be much more if we had Shelley and Sands do it. So we're actually...
That's correct.
It's a much cheaper scenario by going with county engineer's yes. office.
We did get a quote from Shelley and Sands for the same work. It was in the ballpark of $130,000
wow.
to do the
Gee.
Same work.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I'll go ahead and put out... I will offer a motion then to authorize a purchase order made out to the Delaware County Engineer's Office, not to exceed an amount of $82,000. Is there a second?
Second. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry. Mr. Gephardt?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Roll call.
And
Mr. Gephardt?
Sorry. Go ahead.
Mr. Gephardt?
Aye.
Mrs. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye. Motion carries. So now we're looking at a timetable of 2 to 3 weeks, I take it?
I guess Rob has the authority now to order the materials
yes.
for the project and okay. notify the other okay. property owners on the south side of the
Yeah, we definitely project. Want to let those folks know yeah. that you know the disturbance is going to be happening.
What are we looking at as far as, I mean, we're cutting driveways, also, you know, the road itself in front of those houses is probably going to be disrupted to some extent, Rob. What would you anticipate there?
The driveways, those will be handled with basically short-term closures. Our crews will coordinate with residents. We would hope to be able to get that, basically get the crossings in under the driveway in a matter of a few hours.
Okay.
Minimize the disruption to them. We would then, you know, repair that asphalt driveways with asphalt and gravel driveways with gravel.
So we could, allow for parking on the road, I mean, outside of construction area if need be, I mean, things along that line.
Yeah, we
property owners along here.
Certainly. We'll have barrels up basically to barrel road off to one lane. If need be, the residents can park somewhere along there, maybe not right at their at the residence, but
right.
We'll certainly coordinate with them.
Like you said, it'd be a couple hours.
Yes. So,
okay, yeah. Good.
Is there any other business that needs to come before the board at this time? Any other questions, comments, concerns, any other items?
No, just thank you, Rob, for coming.
And thank you.
Lenny
certainly.
And Paul?
Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn at 10:37 p.m.
So moved.
Second.
Seconded. Any discussion? If not, call the roll.
Mr. Gephardt?
Aye.
Mrs. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye. Motion carries. We are now adjourned at 10:38 p.m.
Really, you know, you got to move.